Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you since 1997 on KKUP Radio with over 250.
Thank you.
Paula, are you there? Paula? Paula? Hi, are you there, Paula?
Yes, we are. We have Tex Mars with us.
Can you wait just a minute? Let's start over again so I can put everybody on air. Just a moment, okay? Okay.
Our great guest today is Tex Mars. He's he and his wife, wonderful wife, Wanda Mars, has been a prophetic ministry for over 19 years. Tex Mars is retired U.S. Air Force officer and has taught on the faculty of the University of Texas at Austin and two other universities. His lovely wife, Wanda, held important management positions in the business world. Before entering the ministry, Tex and Wanda founded Tech Trends, a high-tech consulting firm in Austin, Texas. They are authors of numerous books on high-tech secret societies, Bible prophecy, futurism. Three of Tex's books have been number one national bestsellers. His latest book is highly acclaimed, Conspiracy World, and it actually explains the drive by conspiratorial forces on our New World Order. So we'll be talking about the New World Order today. And I just wanted to say before we get started with our interview that Tex Mars will be one of the controversial speakers at the nation's premier Conspiracy Con X 2010. That's June 5th and 6th this year. Other speakers will include Dr. Lynn Horowitz, the author of The Real Da Vinci Code, Michael Collins Piper, author of The New Babylon, Jim Tucker, famous for his exposés on the Builder Burgers, Dr. Bill Daigle, a nutritional medical report. We actually interviewed him last week, and it was a great interview. And our local Dr. Stan Monteef, author of Brotherhood of Darkness, and Dr. Michael Kaufman, who we actually interviewed a few weeks ago. He was the unmasker environmentalist, conspiracy, and debunker of fake global warming propaganda. So make plans to attend the banquet, the expo, and meet all these wonderful speakers. The conference will be hosted at Santa Clara Marriott, located at 2700 Mission College Boulevard in our lovely town of Santa Clara. For information, visit www.conspiracycon.com or call our friend Brian Hall at 925-449-6844. So we'll be giving out the number and the website before the end of our show today. So welcome, Tex.
Hey, Paula, Taz, I'm with you and glad to be here.
Oh, great.
Glad to have you.
It's kind of a rough beginning. Oh, yeah, but you know, that always means that things are smoothed out and now we're going to have so much fun.
Well, we're ready.
Yeah.
I'm just really curious because you were in the Air Force and you taught at universities and you had high-tech businesses. How did you actually get into the prophetic ministry that you've been in for over 19 years?
You know, when I retired, I was very, very blessed. My last assignment was from the Air Force was the University of Texas at Austin, where I spent 5 years teaching. I fully intended to be in the high-tech area because that was sort of my background. Sort of. It was, you know, teaching the weapons of World War III, basically. Austin, Texas, just as your area, is a high-tech center as well. You know, we have everything from IBM to we're sort of second with Intel, but we have Advanced Micro Devices and so many other companies. So it was really a natural thing, and that's what I went into. My wife Wanda and I founded our company as consultants, and we got off to a banging start, you know. And I wrote a number of books on high technology for major publishers. In fact, people always look at in wonderment because actually my best-selling books were in high technology. I had books selected by the what do they call it? Main selections of the Computer Book Club and the Electronic Book Club and so forth. But I've always been interested in political things, and I never really believed in conspiracies as such. I guess I was so busy in the day-to-day operations of communications, electronics engineering in the Air Force that I never really looked at the human element, and especially of conspiracy. So I was the last guy in the world, being a engineering Air Force type, to think that such a thing existed. I really began to look into that area, and then I was just amazed. I put as much effort into that over the last quarter of a century as I did into my Air Force and technical career. And I discovered some amazing things, you know, that even knowing, you know, generals and colonels in the Air Force as I did, these people also didn't know these things. We were told to take orders, to do whatever we were told, and everything was going to be great. We have a constitutional system. We have a commander-in-chief. And, of course, the commander-in-chief and the Secretary of Defense would always be pro-America. I'd never even heard the New World Order term. Can you imagine? Over 20 years in the Air Force, serving in Vietnam. And by the way, I did earn the Vietnam Service Medal, unlike Mr. Blumenthal, the politician up in Connecticut. In any case, when I really looked into this area, I began then to say, you know, this is more important than what writing, as I did the first book on personal robots. I wrote a book called The Personal Robot Book. I wrote a book called Robotica, The Whole Universe Catalog of Robots. I had written books on all kinds of subjects, but I realized that this was at the very root of everything going on in America, and it involved our future, the future of the world, and I believe that we needed to look into what I call conspiracy. Now, I want to emphasize, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, although it's okay to theorize and speculate, but I do believe in facts and documentations, and I have a scientific bent, so this was really what I wanted to know. What are the scientific facts? What are the historical things that can be proven about global conspiracies? And so that's really been the root of my research, beginning with the books that I was very blessed to write in the Christian market. My very first book was called Dark Secrets of the New Age, that became a number one world bestseller in the Christian market. But in it, I talked about the New World Order. And people at the time, they'd never heard of such a thing. What is that, New World Order? What is this global conspiracy? And then I really began to get into conspiracies in terms of secret societies and groups. The Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Bohemian Grove, and way before my friend Alex Jones infiltrated the Bohemian Grove, I had a CD and audio tape series exposing the wicked men of the Bohemian Grove. So this is what I've been doing now for 25 years, and I must tell you, I've sort of had two lives, you know, one in the high-tech Air Force area, and then in this. And this is much more satisfying because it gets right down to the ground floor of where America's going, what our lives are going to be like, what our families are going to be. And it really bridges the gap of politics because, believe me, these evil conspirators, their only god is money and power, and they're not concerned about Democrats and Republicans or libertarians. They laugh at Americans. They think we're uncouth and stupid to really believe that political parties mean anything. They don't mean anything at all. Corporations have no patriotic loyalty at all. I just read today that General Motors is now involved in building an electric car in India. Well, wait, did the American people give General Motors billions of dollars to stay in business? What do you mean they're developing an electric car that's going to be produced in India? You see, this
cheaper.
Is the thing. This is what we're up against. We're up against evil, greedy men who know no patriotic, have no patriotic instincts at all.
Well, I mean, even our bank systems hit us right straight in the middle of the eyes. I mean, we were like hit blindsided.
Well, we were, but you know, Wall Street has always been Washington, D.C., and Washington, D.C. is Wall Street. And Barack Obama works for the same people that George W. Bush did, Bill Clinton, all the way back, you know, to FDR, and even really before that. So we shouldn't expect anything different with a Barack Obama. If Barack Obama, for some strange reason, and you don't do this when your whole life is invested, but if he were to decide to be true to America and our Constitution, he would be destroyed. He would be assassinated. I think this is what John F. Kennedy tried to do, and we saw what happened to him. I think Richard Nixon also had a glint of this, and you can say what you want to, and I understand, you know, if you're liberal or conservative, you try to draw sides. But Richard Nixon, I think, saw it too, and he was destroyed, and, you know, to the point of being assassinated, but just disgraced and sent from office. So this is what happens to presidents who don't play in the ball game.
What about Carter? He was kind of
Jimmy Carter was an internationalist and a New World Order supporter. And the interesting thing is he must have been looked at as a real stupid ignoramus by the elite. He really believed in it. You can say what you want to. He seemed to be somewhat incompetent. I remember one day there was the stock market went down like, you know, 8 or 10% in one day, quite a fall. And Jimmy Carter, as president, was asked by the news media, what do you think about the stock market drop? And he just smiled and he said, you know, I don't really pay any attention to Wall Street. You know, so, and of course, he was a one-term president. One of the things, though, Jimmy Carter was against war, and they were not. They wanted to get us in a big war. And Jimmy Carter, of course, we had those hostages that were taken by Iran. And Jimmy Carter just did not want World War III. He did not want a bigger movement over there. So they decided to get rid of the guy because he was in office, he was uncooperative because he did believe in a global system, but he didn't believe it should be led by the rich. He believed that He believed in everything he had been taught from the time he was a kid. You know, he was also a military officer, and I believe he learned patriotism. And I think that I would disagree with Jimmy Carter in some of my Christian views, but I do believe he was an honest man, is an honest man, and look at him today. The man would like to have peace in the Middle East, but the Zionists are just scavengers and just ripping the poor guy apart. So you can't tell the truth as Jimmy Carter does. Jimmy Carter knows that the Zionists are massacring people, killing people, stealing land, and they've been doing so since the communist government took over in Israel in 1948 under David Ben-Gurion, who was a big admirer. Their first prime minister was an admirer of Vladimir Lenin, Trotsky, and Stalin. So, you know, there have always been a socialist communist system in Israel, mixed with, of course, a decadent form of criminal capitalism with the Rothschilds and so forth. So this is where we're at today, and I'm looking forward, by the way, to discussing some of these things at the conspiracy tenth. This is the 10th anniversary, I suppose, of the conspiracy conference, and
yes.
I look forward to presenting a lot of documentation. I think it's important. If I make statements as I've done on your program, Paula and Taz, I think it's important for me to back them up. No one should believe anything Tex Moore says unless I have the documentation, and I'll be glad to present that.
Oh, now, the Illuminati started, I think, in 1776. How
yes,
did they
you know,
get
the,
started?
The formally, the Order of the Illuminati was put together by Adam Weishaupt. Very interesting man, by the way, and you can read about him on Wikipedia or even Encyclopedia Britannica. But Adam Weishaupt was Jewish, actually, and his parents supposedly converted to Catholicism. He became a professor at the University of Ingolstadt and a Catholic Jesuit professor. But then he joined the Masonic Lodge. And then he had this conception of the Illuminati. And on May 1st, that's why May 1 is a very important day, not only for socialism, communism, but for Illuminists all over the world and Satanists. May 1st, you know, the pagan religions always had their sexual orgies and their festivals and rituals wrapped around the May 1st date. And even when the Lenin and Trotsky took over in the Soviet Union in 1917, they call it the November Red Revolution, but they celebrated and had their great parade on May the 1st in Red Square in Moscow. So this May 1st date is very, very important among Satanists, communists, Illuminists, and socialists all over the world. And this was the date of the founding of the Order of the Illuminati. And it's interesting, again, that it happened in 1776, the same year where America had its Declaration of Independence. Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, knew of the Order of the Illuminati. And in my books, you know, I quote both Jefferson and Washington extensively. And Jefferson said, and you can get this at, go to the library and order the book through Interlibrary Loan, The Writings of George Washington, published in 1940. He said, of the existence of the Illuminati, I have no doubt. So even then it was operating in America and throughout Europe. But Illuminism, or the Order of the Illuminati, eventually metamorphosed into Zionism and Communism. And so then we had a big run in the 20th century with probably 200 million people being slaughtered and suffering needless bloodshed and horror because of the Illuminists, who then, of course, were called other names, communists, socialists, Bolsheviks, and so forth.
So, what does this look like in the future? What are we looking at, since you have all the background that you have now? What are we looking at for 2011, 2012? Do you see anything whereby there's a turnaround, something different, or what are we looking at here, Jim?
You know, dates are very important. Numbers are very important. in the Illuminati scheme of things. Remember, these people are occultists, and occultists always have, you know, people involved deeply in witchcraft, Satanism, and the occult world, and the secret societies, always use dates. It's interesting that the year 2012, everybody knows about the Mayan and Aztec calendars and the claim by some that the world will end in 2012. It is interesting, though, that 2012 seems to be a key date among many Illuminists. And, you know, I'm not saying the world is going to end or anything like that. I doubt that it will. But they do seek to accomplish things at a given time on these key dates, dates that are astrologically, they actually employ occult astrology and dates. And all of these are very important. But what is going to happen? Let's see. It appears now that they are pretty well advanced on their plan to level the United States economically, to drive America into the same boat as the third world countries. And, of course, this will accomplish an incredible lot for them because it'll totally destroy the working people, denude us of entitlements that they keep claiming they're going to have to cut. So they're, of course, merging the United States in with Canada and with Mexico and later with Central and South America. And they're forming these things. You know, the North American Union actually was planned for 2010. And it was put together, you know, back in, 2005. They went a long way when President Bush, Prime Minister Martin of Canada, and President Vicente Fox of Mexico all met in Waco, Texas, right down the road from me. And they all agreed on a concord to have the North American Union established in 2010. But you see, sometimes they don't always get what they want on the dates they want. And I think they're running behind time now on the North American Union. But Paul and Taz, if you were to visit me and my ministry headquarters here in Austin, Texas, I would be glad to go on about a 45-minute drive to show you the Trans-America Corridor being built. 12 lanes wide. It is a monstrosity. Our governor here, Rick Perry, is very much a globalist, and all of his posturing that he has otherwise is silly. He's a member of the Bilderbergers, and he sold out to these groups. So the Texas legislature, there's been more money passed under the table to those folks to approve this. To get their North American Union, they're building this gigantic highway from the bowels of Mexico all the way up through Canada. But it's a fast proceeding now. They've had some setbacks because citizens, just ordinary citizens, have been raising Cain about it. And they must hate us a lot because we've really been delaying a lot of their plans. Barack Obama, of course, has really been making headway. And the Obama medical care plan, that just really translates into control. But when they get the immigration amnesty approved, and of course I know the woman running there for governor, Meg Whitman, and you know, she claims she's not for amnesty. You know, what a silly thing. Of course she is. She's a corporate chieftain, you know. That's what Meg Whitman came out of, the corporate world. All the corporatists are not Americans. They're all internationalists. And it's to their benefit to get cheap Mexican labor. And then once they have cheap Mexican labor and tens of millions of Mexican illegals coming in, then they can tell the American workers, we're going to lower your salary too. We're going to lower your Social Security. We're going to lower your medical care. And if you don't like it, too bad. We'll just go out and bring in Pakistanis, Chinese, Indonesians, Mexicans, Uruguayans, you know, whatever it takes to level America. And Barack Obama's going right in with this plan. And everything is proceeding just perfectly. This is part of the North American Union. Once they get immigration amnesty, which they will call reform, now already, you know, we have 12 million, they claim, illegal aliens just from Mexico. But, of course, that's silly. Bear Stearns, the huge Wall Street firm that went out of business when this more recent crash began, Bear Stearns 5 years ago put out a report after they had analyzed it. And they said at that time there's up to 35 million illegal aliens 5 years ago. I think Bear Stearns may have been punished for their releasing that report because they're out of business now, you know. They and Lehman Brothers were the first two big shoes to fall in 2007-08 when this crash began. So I think a lot of things are planned, and it doesn't matter whether we elect Republicans or Democrats. These things are going to happen. For example, Rand Paul, the son of Ron Paul, you know, he stands a very good chance of being elected. But he immediately turned out and issued a big press release saying, whatever Israel wants to do, if Israel wants to invade Iran, I love Israel so much, I love Zionism so much, you know, all hell Israeli Zionism, let's go kill a bunch of Arabs. So this is sort of Rand Paul's idea, which is certainly totally against what his dad, Congressman Ron Paul, wants. Yet the Tea Parties went nuts for Rand Paul. Meanwhile, the Republican Party has pretty well co-opted most of the Tea Parties, and that's why Sarah Palin, John McCain, and all the old-school Zionist you know, plunderers, you know, they're all called Tea Party people, but that's silly. You don't get any more establishment than John McCain. But he's running around in some big van called the Tea Party Express. That's pretty obscene, isn't it?
Well, do you think that what Arizona's doing will slow anything down?
Well, if we can get all the states to go along with that, wouldn't that be wonderful so that they couldn't just punish Arizona? And thank God for that governor there, by the way. And let me say something, Taz and Paula, so nobody will misunderstand what my views are on this. First of all, the Mexican people have been treated abominably in Mexico, okay? The Mexican billionaires down there own Pemex, Petroleum Mexico, and they work very close with ExxonMobil, with British Petroleum and all the others, Chevron, Shell, Conoco, and so forth, to keep the spigot closed when necessary of Pemex. Mexico has natural resources. They've got metal mining. They've got, as I said, they're one of the biggest producers they could be in the whole world of oil. But they're keeping the people down there. The people are basically peasants and slaves. Now, if we freed up the to be very honest with you, the way to free up Mexico is to smash the Illuminist New World Order crowd. You know, the Carlos Slim kind of billionaire. I think he's called the second richest man in the world, this Mexican billionaire. Well, what is he interested in doing? Well, the New York Times was about to go bankrupt this last year. Everybody knows the New York Times is simply the establishment lying mouthpiece. And nobody wants to read it anymore. But Carlos Slim, the Mexican billionaire, comes to the rescue and puts in hundreds of millions of dollars to keep the New York Times afloat. And this is what they do. They own all of the establishment mouthpieces, all of the newspapers, CBS, ABC, CNN, Fox News. And now they put on a front, you know, so you watch CNN, you think you're getting the Democrat Party. You watch Fox, you think you're getting, you know, the Newt Gingrich, you know, John McCain Republicans. But really, they're all in bed together. So you're not getting anything of the sort. But here's my point. To free the to help the Mexican people and workers, we need to free them. They're in bondage in Mexico. That's where we need to go and do our business. They're in bondage down there. Every president, whether it's Calderon or Fox or the guys they had, they're all a bunch of cruds that all attend all these Bilderberger meetings and Bohemian Grove. They're all a bunch of crooks. That's why the Mexican people are poor. It's not because we want to keep them from coming to America. We want to keep them in Mexico, but free them. And I think the Petroleum Mexico Corporation that's owned by the government down there should be given to the people. They should be given dividends, and they ought to free the people. But anyway, this is just, you know, they've been owned by the Masonic Lodge for so many decades there in Mexico. You go all the way back to Benito Juarez and all those, you'll find out they're all Masons. It's so interesting. You know, I'm a Texan, and I've really researched the origins of Texas becoming independent from Mexico. Well, it turned out it was really two Masonic lodge factions fighting each other. General Santa Ana of Mexico was a Freemason, and so was Sam Houston and Crockett and the others of Texas. So it was just a little tribal conflict between two Masonic sects. And this is how Texas became free. And that's why, we have the great Greco-Roman temple that's our Capitol building. We have the Goddess of Liberty of the Masonic Lodge who stands atop it. And the Lone Star has always been a symbol of the Masonic Lodge.
Well, aren't things changing a little bit? Because I don't think the Mexican people are coming up in groves like they used to because there's not as many jobs here.
That's right. Construction is died out, residential and commercial construction. And you're right. They don't have the jobs here. That is just a temporary phenomenon. And, I think what we need to do is, if good patriotic Americans can keep in mind that the Mexican people, on the whole, are not our enemies. They're not our enemies, but they've been taken advantage of, and now they're being used. They're being used and they're being taught to hate Anglos. And this is the game of the Illuminati, to cause class envy and hatred. You know, they want the blacks to hate the whites and vice versa. And listen, I've done so much research, and I'm sure y'all understand this, or your listeners would understand it too. When you go out and you study the Aryan Nations, the KKK, all these neo-Nazi groups, you find that they're all founded by the money interest. There's no real KKKers out there. There's no real Nazi party in America. It's all founded by the money interest. And I'm sure that every one of these Hispanic groups, you know, La Raza and all of them, you'll find that the big money is involved in setting them up. This is what they did with the environmental movement. The environmental movement would be dead today if it weren't for the Exxon Mobils and the Chevrons funding it, sponsoring it, keeping it going. They need the environmental movement. With the environmental movement, they can keep the oil spigots closed. Do you realize that gasoline would probably be 50 cents a gallon if it weren't for the environmentalists? They're the best friend ExxonMobil ever had.
That's so true.
So, you know, JFK, John F. Kennedy, I have become over the years, I know he was a philanderer and adulterer, all those things. Don't get me wrong, you know, maybe he was flawed. But I think he understood this stuff. He fought the corporations. And, you know, one of the things John F. Kennedy did was he told Israel, I know you've stolen the atomic bomb from us through your Jewish spies in America. These people that claim to be citizens of the United States, but all they are is just Zionist wackos. I'm not saying that he said those words exactly, but he knew that Israel had the atomic bomb that they had stolen from us and were developing them in the Negev Desert. And I think he told Israel, you're going to have to give up your atomic weapons. In fact, this was, I think, Kennedy's great, great desire to end the threat of nuclear weapons for all of mankind. And if he had been allowed to stand in office, I think he would have done so. And you'll remember when U.S. Steel and the big corporations tried to raise prices that time. I mean, he put his foot on their neck. So, you know, they got rid of the guy, a combination of interest. And when people say, who killed JFK? Well, just name them. The Israeli Mossad, the FBI, the Mafia, the CIA. They were all interested in getting rid of John F. Kennedy and his brother Bobby, and
well,
they did, unfortunately.
He wanted to create, you know, his own money at that point.
That's true, too, yeah. He was going to get us from the bondage to the Federal Reserve and create his own money, and he did. I remember at the time, I was a young man in the Air Force, and everybody was talking about these new Treasury certificates that John F. Kennedy had put out. And, you know, and you look at them, and I remember an older gentleman, and I didn't even understand what he was talking about at the time. He'd gone through the Great Depression, and I was a young airman at the time. He said, airman, this guy was a janitor of all things, right? He was a janitor. But one day, we were sitting and having lunch there at the airbase where I worked, and he said, Airman Morris, have you ever considered these two bills? See, this one says Federal Reserve Note, but this new one that Kennedy put out says Treasury Certificate. Do you know the difference between the two? I said, well, each of them is a dollar. What does it matter? He said, well, it matters a lot, you know. But I didn't know what he was talking about at the time. But it is interesting. John F. Kennedy was going to free us from the Federal Reserve bondage. But today, well, we're still under bondage to the Wall Street Jews who run the Federal Reserve. Wall Street Jews have always run the Federal Reserve.
Well,
it will always be
that.
A Wall Street Jew
who
runs it.
It wasn't long after that, though, that he was assassinated. So
That's true. So we continue on our scheme, and that's why, they don't want to be audited. They don't want anybody to know what they're doing. Because the Federal Reserve is not federal at all. Federal would mean it's within the borders of the United States. But the Federal Reserve makes sure that billions of American dollars go overseas and fund all the banks overseas. You know, people don't realize, how many trillions of dollars that Americans, taxpayers, have been forced to cough up to give to overseas banks. And this is just what we do. We are the support for the whole world, and they're taking money from us, just robbing Americans to do this.
Well, as we go down, so do other countries, as our money goes down.
Well,
so.
it does, and so, you know, the bailout continues to all these. But again, I think everything is engineered for this to happen. And believe me, this financial reform bill is not going to fix anything. We all know that. It's not going to do anything about the derivatives. And I understand there's still $600 trillion worth of derivatives out there. This was the reason the European banks almost crashed 2 weeks ago. And they announced a big bailout plan of $1 trillion. But as part of it, our Federal Reserve opened up its windows and pledged some $50 billion or more to the European banks. Who approved that?
Yeah.
You and I didn't approve for our Federal Reserve to give $50 billion to European banks to bail them out. But that's what happened 2 weeks ago.
What about your latest book? The name of your latest book is what?
It's called Conspiracy World.
Conspiracy World.
Yes, we have a...
When did you write this particular book?
You know, this is really a collection of articles that I've written, and I updated them and then added quite a bit of information to them. It's 137 different topics. It's some of my books are quite large, as you've probably seen. This one is the size of probably the San Jose, California phone book, and with many photographs and such. But it covers all kinds of areas, historical and otherwise. For example, one of the things that, let me just give you an idea of what we're into here, and we have many contacts now, because we have been in business for 25 years or so. One of the areas I researched was the Chandra Levy case. In my newsletter, I discovered how she had been killed, been murdered, as part of a satanic ritual. I actually unmasked this in our newsletter, Power of Prophecy newsletter. You'll find that article in Conspiracy World. I stated in that article, at the time her body was still missing, you remember the congressional intern to Congressman Condit. And I stated in my article that she had been slain in a satanic ritual. Many of the congressmen, senators, judges, and others in Washington, D.C., and high-level diplomats are Satan worshipers, and they do have rituals. And one of the places they have rituals frequently is a place called Rock Creek Park in Washington, D.C. And I've been there, a couple of times, and it's sort of like Central Park in New York. It seems out of place almost, quite rustic and, a lot of wooded, forested areas. They've kept it pristine. There is a mansion that a multimillionaire family owned, and they donated it to the government in Rock Creek Park. It's an old, scary, it looks like it's something out of the movie. Remember Hound of the Baskervilles? Well, there's a mansion like that in Rock Creek Park. Nobody knows what goes on there. The doors are pretty well closed to the public, but what happens is satanic rituals. And I understand that she had been killed there as part of a ritual. Now, I stated flat out, her body will be discovered eventually in Rock Creek Park, because after they killed her, they took and they put her body out there in Rock Creek Park and just deposited it for the elements. And, it's interesting, 6 months after I wrote that and told people where she would be found, indeed, that's exactly where they found the remains, unfortunately, of Chandra Levy. And people, many people who get my newsletter, thousands get it, and they said, well, this is amazing. How did you know that her body was at Rock Creek Park? Well, once you understand a lot of these things, as I have discovered, by the way, Rock Creek Park, when you look at it from an aerial view, they actually shaped it and designed it architecturally, all right, as a goat's head. A goat's head. This is another little unknown thing. And, of course, the goat is a symbol of Satanism and Freemasonry. The ancient Knights Templars worship, Baphomet, the androgynous male-female goat god. And all Satanists, you can go back to the days in the 60s and 70s of Anton LaVey, founder of the Church of Satan, would conduct ceremonies wearing a goat's headdress. So Rock Creek Park is actually shaped, it's laid out in the form of a goat's head, complete with horns. And but that's where she was killed, and that's where her body was deposited. They blamed it, interestingly enough, on an illegal immigrant that couldn't speak English that came from Colombia. And he was a little-timer, actually, in the Colombian drug ring, sort of a mule. And they got him and blamed him for the murder, claimed that he had raped her and killed her while she was on a hike through Rock Creek Park. But that's not the way it happened at all. So a lot of people say to me, how could you possibly have known where her body was? Well, here again, you put certain clues together. Condit, of course, has a very notorious reputation. And by the way, somebody, I don't know if it was really him, called my ministry office and demanded that I retract what I'd said about Chandra Levy and where her body would be found and about Congressman Condit. And the person claimed to be Congressman Condit and told me, said, Tex Morris, I'm going to be your worst nightmare. Well, Condit at the time was chairman of the House Committee on Intelligence. Was a very powerful person in Congress. He also was one of the first members of the Homeland Security Committee. So, he was a very powerful guy. But I went right on doing my business. I didn't retract diddly. I've never retracted anything. But when I do make an error, I'll be glad to retract it. But that was not an error.
Now, do they do rituals like this at the Bohemian Grove?
Oh, they do. Those people are just evil at the Bohemian Grove. And we're talking about, presidents, prime ministers, congressmen, judges. Everybody's been there, from Gerald Ford, President Gerald Ford, who's a 33rd degree Mason, by the way, to Newt Gingrich. He was one of the speakers there. Very, very elitist group. In his book, Men and Powers, his biography of his political life. Former Chancellor of Germany, Helmut Schmidt, wrote what an exhilarating experience it was to go to the meeting of the Bohemian Grove. And they do worship the 42-foot owl. The owl has always been a symbol of wisdom among the Illuminati elite. And it goes back to the days of Zeus and Athena, the goddess of wisdom. You know, a bird, a sacred bird, was the owl. And so they have erected a 42-foot owl. Numerologically, that's very important. 4 plus 2 equals 6. The number of the beast is 666. 4 times 2 is 8. 8 is the number of the goddess, the number of new beginnings in occult numerology. And believe me, I don't give any credit at all to numbers, but it's interesting that the Illuminati do. They worship numbers. They believe they're very important. It's interesting, too, as a Christian, you know, Revelation 13 actually says the number of the beast will be 666.
There is something to do with numbers.
There is something to numbers, you know. A lot of mysteries in the Bible, and that's why I've loved Bible prophecy so much. There's there's a verse in the Bible, and I don't have time to talk about it today, but I'd love to some other time. Jesus telling his disciples to fish in a certain area. They were having no success at all fishing, and he said, cast your nets over in this area. When they did, suddenly the fish were just, I mean, they just were all over that net, right? They pulled them in, and Jesus said, count them, and don't miss a one. Can you imagine Jesus Christ telling his disciples, count the fish that you've caught in your net, and don't exclude even one. Count every one, and tell me how many there are. When they had finished counting, Peter said, Lord, there are exactly 153 fish. And Jesus said, that's the right number. Good. So, a little mystery for your audience, okay? The mystery of the 153 fish. But I did a whole... Yeah, there's a lot of fun in the Bible, you know, a lot of mysteries, the mysteries and secrets of God. Now, it's interesting, too, the Bible says that in the last days, right before Jesus comes, the mystery of iniquity will come to its fullest. And that's what I believe we're seeing. And it doesn't matter whether it's George W. Bush or Barack Obama, these people are all controlled, and they're part, I believe, of this mystery of iniquity, this satanic elite that has come to the fore in these last days. And it is so powerful. Excuse me?
Are they losing their power?
Oh, no, not at all. No, they're not losing power. But they're being met, though, with resistance. And they're having to, you know, sprint to the final line. And a lot of people are fighting this now. And I realize most people have not awakened. But there are people like, you know, listen to your show, the audience, and they know something is terrible is amiss here. And more people understand, you know, 9/11, Oklahoma City bombing, you know, all the way back to the days of the JFK assassination, millions of Americans have begun to understand things are not what they seem. And so I think many people are awakening, and this is a worldwide awakening, too, and you know, so that's why I get so many letters from England and Australia. And people are beginning to understand that the elite are actually in control of this world. It doesn't matter who we elect. Now, the problem for the elite is when people understand this, what are they going to do? You know, Vladimir Lenin, you know, they had a newspaper, they still have it actually in Russia, called Pravda. Communist newspaper. Pravda, you know, is a Russian word meaning truth. And when you go today even in Moscow, you can visit the Pravda newspaper building. And when you go into the lobby, chisel, I believe it's in stone, is a Russian quote from Lenin. To this day, And by the way, it's interesting, Pravda actually is a better newspaper today than the New York Times or the San Francisco newspaper. I trust it a lot more than the American newspapers, believe it or not. Russia's Pravda today, Russia has more freedom than Americans have. And you get the truth. Everything is censored in America. Nothing is like the government tells it. But, you know, you can go online, and Russia today has a news show, and you can go on YouTube and get it, and they tell the truth. They're a lot more honest than Americans are about the world.
Well, Tex, we only have 1 minute left.
All
so,
right.
It's gone by quickly. We want to make sure that everybody knows that you're going to be in Santa Clara at the Marriott at the Conspiracy Con Expo June 2nd and 3rd. And
no,
do you know which
June
day you'll be?
Hey, it's 5th and 6th, Paula.
5th and, and
yeah,
do you know what day
6th.
You're going to be speaking? Which
you know,
Saturday
I'm going to be speaking on Saturday at 1:30.
Oh, good.
And I think people, you know, they can bring their stones if they want to stone me or throw stuff at me, if they want to, because I'm going to expose the hidden cabal behind Sarah Palin, Newt Gingrich, Barack Obama, Rahm Emanuel, all of them. So, you know, if you're a Sarah Palin lover or a Barack Obama lover, you may want to come and bring your stones and tomatoes to throw at me. Because
no, I wouldn't invite that. We don't want to invite that kind of thing.
No, I'm really not. I'm just kidding.
I really, I think we, first of all, we want to let people know that they can see you and the whole conference June 5th and 6th. And let me tell you, there's going to be a beautiful speakers buffet, and it will you'll have tables for booze and things like that that people can go to.
We will, and my wife is so much better looking than me, my wife Wanda. She'll be there to shake hands. She's a sweetheart, just as you said. She really is.
And Paula and I'll be there too.
Yeah, actually, hey, good. Please come by and say hello to me. And
we will.
And by the way, you know, people are always surprised when they see me speak and everything. They can't believe I smile a lot. Because I do believe, I have hope in the future. Great hope.
That's what we need. That's
we do
need.
Too.
All right.
Okay,
all right.
We are out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. We
Thank
look forward
you.
To seeing you.
Okay, God bless you and Santa Clara.
God bless you.
Too.
Bye-bye.